Father, we just thank you for your presence in the house today and the opportunity to share your word. I pray, God, that you'll speak through us. Help us to hear the voice of God today. God, may we see the presence of the Lord. May we see Jesus and not man. May we hear your word clearly and accurately today. And I thank you, Father, that we're all going to go home a better person because we've been touched by your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You all heard of AI, right? Well, I had AI write the title for my message today. So, I get tired of trying to come up with titles. And was it you last week that said, you know, it's hard to come up with a title? So I said, well, you know what? Let's just try artificial intelligence. And so I put a couple of sentences in there. And here's what AI come up with. So don't blame me. You got it? No more cries, no more bones. God revives dry bones. Kind of corny, isn't it? A little bit corny. Well, take it up with AI. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about Alex's favorite messages and favorite topic, and he's homesick this morning, so we need to remember him in our prayers. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Ezekiel's boneyard and the prophecy that went forth, and see what we can learn that we can apply, even though this was 2,500 years ago. We can still apply the teachings and the principles to our everyday life today. And we've all heard the funny songs about Ezekiel's boneyard. We used to sing a song when I was a child, and some of you may remember this, the foot bone's attached to the ankle bone's attached to the knee bone, shin bone, knee bone. And there's just all kinds of bones going all the way up, And it's a long song, believe me. It's a long song. But it's more than just a cute little song. There's a prophecy, a prophetic word in here, not just for the Jews, but for all that are believers. There is a prophetic word here today, and I want to share just a couple of thoughts with you, then I'll let you out of here. Amen. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to read 14 verses this morning. I'm going to start at chapter 37, verse 1. I am reading from the NLT. It will be behind me if you didn't bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We have a bunch of Bibles to give you. We have big letter, giant letter. We have small print. We have study Bibles. We've got many different kinds of Bibles. Please don't walk out of here without a Bible, and because we need the daily Lord. You say, well, I've got my device, and I've got this. But there's something about holding a Bible and marking in that Bible and remembering those passages and looking through it. And so I just want to remind you to use your Bibles when you can. And I know this is a different age. Those old songs we sang a while ago, my insides were jumping up and down on those old songs. And some of you, it was probably cringing. But anybody here remember Stryper? Remember Stryper? First time I heard Stryper sing the Star Spangled Banner, I thought, blasphemy, blasphemy, that's horrible, singing the Star Spangled Banner in that type, in that, with all that metal and everything. But you know what? Music changes, doesn't it? And I loved what Dwayne, I love what you said about, the music that we grew up on is close to our hearts, and we'll never forget that. I'll hear a part of a song, and I can remember the verses. I can remember the choruses. I can remember all of it because it's so inside of me. And so don't be judgmental, just enjoy. Amen. We'll get around to your kind of song someday. Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel 37 chapter 37 verse 1. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And I said, oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. And then the Lord said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, hear the word, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. And just let me just take a little pig trail here for a moment, because I was questioned the other day about cremation. And, you know, somebody said, is it okay to be cremated? You remember, don't you, Chris? Because you were in there. And I said, I see no problem with cremation. They said, well, when the Lord comes, or when he comes back and everybody comes together, how's he going to get all those pieces that's spread all over the farm or all over the Atlantic Ocean? How's he going to get all that back? I don't know, but he can do it, can he? He can do it. And so I'm not anti-cremation, but I told my wife I'd like to be cremated, and she refuses. So y'all are going to walk up here and walk right by me and cry when you see me in that casket, because she's not going to let me be cremated. But if God can take a valley of dry bones that are bleached white, been laying there for thousands of years, and breathe life into them and make them a living army, how many knows he can take the scattered ashes and bring it all back together again? Amen. So where was I? Suddenly I spoke, verse 7. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched muscle and flesh form over these bones, the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. I want to say that to the church ever so often. God, breathe in these dead bodies that we might live again. Just kidding. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. How many know we've heard that for the last few years? All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them. How many of those might be a good idea to prophesy to the United States once in a while? Prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken, and I have done what I said I would do. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Now you got to step back just a little bit, and let's just take a little journey with Ezekiel to this boneyard. He's up on this mountain and he's overlooking this valley of Kidron, and there's bones everywhere, bleached bones everywhere. And the word that God gave to Ezekiel was a prophetic word. These people were broken down, discombobulated. They were totally fragmented. There was nothing good going on down there. And it was also a very critical time in the nation of Israel. You see, for the first time, this is amazing, the first time since Israel had left Egypt, the children of Israel had left Egypt, for the very first time, they had been defeated. They were humiliated. They had fallen into idol worship. And, you know, Ezekiel was going around for 10 years. 10 years Ezekiel was prophesying, repent, preaching, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. It's time to get right with God. He preached for 10 years and there was not a conversion. I've heard of missionaries going to countries before and preaching for years and years and years and never seen one convert. But they did what God told them to do. How many knows we plant the seed, God brings the increase? Yes. Say that with me. We plant the seed, and God brings the increase. Israel would not listen to Ezekiel. But guess what? They didn't listen to Isaiah either. They didn't listen to the prophets of old. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to Daniel. And they're about to be destroyed, ransacked. They're about to get in big trouble. The people are going to be scattered all over the earth. But God has a word, And I want to tell you something this morning. You may feel discombobulated. You may feel like things are falling apart. Maybe you feel like some things will never come together. I've got a word for you this morning, and it is a prophetic word through preaching today. You may feel like you're about to be destroyed or ransacked. You're about to get in big trouble. But the word of the Lord says they may be dry, and they may be dead, and they may look like it's over with for them, but God's not going to leave them that way. God's not going to leave you the way you are today. If you're willing and hungry for God to change, how many knows God can change? Amen. He's saying, I'm not going to leave those bones lifeless. I'm not going to leave them scattered and lifeless. I'm going to bring them back together. Now listen, 2,500 years after this prophecy, 2,500 years after this prophecy, in 1948, the Jews began to return to their homeland. The people began to come from Russia. I didn't realize there were so many Russian Jews. And Ilya was telling us that the population of Jews in Russia is just unbelievable. And they've been scattered all over the earth. And Russian Jews are coming home. Ukrainian Jews are coming home. People all over the... When we went to Georgia, in Tbilisi, Georgia, there was a section in that city for Jews. It was just a Jewish community. When we went back last year, that community was almost totally gone. They had already all left and went back to their homeland. This prophecy was fulfilled. How many knows when God says something, mark it down, it'll come to pass? Amen. By the way, how many knows we don't have 2,500 years to wait for it to come to pass? All right, but just be assured that when God says he's not going to leave us broken down, scattered, and lifeless. And somebody said, "Well, Brother Rhodes, I'm not a Jew. What's that got to do with me? I'm an American. I'm not a Jew. What's that got to do with me?" Well, number one, it's good to know that God keeps his promises. Amen. In him there is neither Jew nor Gentile nor Greek. I mean, those in him we're all one. Amen. And so it's good to know that God keeps his promises, but it's also to know that God will not leave your life in a scattered, broken down state. God wants to put your life back together. God wants to fix the things in your life that are broken. I know this is an Old Testament prophecy about Israel, about the Jews returning to Israel, but the message for us today is we're not going to be moving to Israel, right? But the message for us today is God wants to restore your life. He wants to build your life. He wants to put those broken things together. And as I said last week, things that have been broken and put that back together sometimes are worth more than they were in their original value. Right? I won't go back into that because that was last week. But he's saying there's a particular time in history that I'm going to restore all the Jews. I'm going to bring them back together. I'm going to fix all those fragmented bodies and all those broken down things. My message to you this morning is very simple. And don't think it's over. I'm just getting started. But my message is very simple. God wants to put your life back together. And I'm not saying you're broken, you're dry, you're fragmented, but there's things in your life that need to be repaired. Things, some emotions that need to be repaired. Maybe in your psyche it needs to be repaired. We need Jesus to touch us. There's people here that are sick in body. There's people that are confused. There's people maybe with some mental illness. God wants to heal us and put us back together. Amen? Ezekiel said, "Can these bones live again?" And you're probably sitting here this morning saying this. I may have even heard it from one or two. Can my marriage be restored? Can my marriage make it? Will my marriage ever be put back together again? Will my body ever be healed? Am I going to have to go through this for the rest of my life? Are my children ever going to be saved? Are my children ever coming back to the Lord? I raised them right, but now they've left, and it looks like they're getting deeper and deeper into sin. Will my children? I've got a word for you today. The Lord wants to restore all those broken places of our lives, whether it's our children, whether it's our health, whether it's your finances. God wants to restore those things in us. Can you say amen this morning? Will my business ever be restored? I've started three businesses and every one of them failed. God, I need your help. God is into helping putting people back together. He can turn your finances around. That was a good word you had this morning, Miss Darlene. That was a great word. God wants to turn our finances around. So Ezekiel says, I'm down in the valley. I'm heartbroken. I've pleaded for 10 years for these people to open up their eyes for Jesus, but it's not working. And when I look at the situation, all I can say is, Lord, you know. Because when God asked him, can these bones live again? How many's felt this way? God, only you know. Will my marriage be restored? God, only you know. Will things turn around in my mental state? Only God knows. That's what people say. But I got a word for you today. There was more to it. The man of God began to prophesy. He began to speak the word of God over his situation. Somebody shout amen. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to talk to your checkbook. You need to talk to your marriage. You need to talk to those bones that seem to be all dried up and just bleached white. You need to talk to your ministry. Talk to your business. Speak to it. Speak the word of the Lord over it. Now, these bones were scattered. Everybody say scattered. They were all over the Valley of Kidron. And they just, I mean, everywhere you look, a big pile of bones everywhere. They were scattered. And Jesus talks about the dangers of being scattered, the dangers of being divided. And I want us to look at Matthew 12 and 25 this morning. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. How many knows every city, every house that's divided against itself will not stand? Can I hear you? Every marriage divided will not stand. Every business that is divided will not stand. Every church that's divided against itself will not stand. Anytime something is fragmented, it loses power. Think about it. It loses its ability to stand. And then we've all seen these cleaning commercials. Let me remind you that Dawn breaks up, not you, Dawn breaks up grease, right? And scatters it. Or how about this one? Tide breaks down hard to get rid of stains and scatters it. I'm going to tell you something. Not only will Dawn and Tide do that, life will do that to us also. Life will break us down. If we don't have a strong foundation and know who we are in Christ, that's why Dwayne sang that song a while ago. Leave your shame at the door. God's done something new inside of you. You don't need to pick it up anymore. When you leave this place, I know who I am in Christ. Somebody shout amen. And so life tries to break us down. Life tries to destroy us. We find many times that our lives are scattered, broken, cracked. You ever been called a crackpot? You know, we get cracked, you know. But here's the thing. Our unity, our strength is predicated on our unity. Our strength is predicated on our unity. That's why unity is so vitally important, because anything divided against itself will not stand. I didn't make that up, did I? If we lose our unity, we divide ourselves, we become dismembered, and our strength is depleted. Matthew 18 and 19 says this, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, just two, everybody say two, if just two of you will agree on earth as touching what? Anything. That's a big word, isn't it? Anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now any two, how many knows you don't have to have a church as big as T.D. Jakes? You don't have to have a Stephen Furtick sized church. I mean, all you need is two. You need somebody that'll get in agreement with you and stay in agreement with you and not waver, stay in agreement with you. And he says, you will have whatever you ask. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is why the devil fights connection. This is why the devil fights unity. How many knows you can't have community without unity? Right? You'll never have community without unity. All I need, Darlene, is one person to agree with me. And if it's just my wife and I, and we get in agreement, I can ask anything according to the will of God, and he shall do it. Yeah. Now, here's where the problem comes in. Husbands and wives can't stay in unity very long. Come on now. We need to learn to walk in unity, stay in unity, and believe the word of God. Just believe that one scripture, any two of you. If it's just Gabe and I, it's all it takes. Sometimes we get in trouble and we need to call for backup. Isn't that right, officer? We need to call for backup. Do you ever call for backup? Yeah. You get a call and it's a little bit bigger than you thought it was, and you get on your radio and you begin to call for backup. Why? Because I know it's a dangerous situation and I may not get through it by myself. It's all right to call. It doesn't mean that you're not strong and tough and a beast. Some people think, well, if I call for backup, it's a sign of weakness. Did we talk about this Friday night? Didn't we talk about this Friday night? You know, being transparent and being willing to be open and call for backup. Man, if you need help, call for help. Amen? That's what we're here for. We're family. Amen. So on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were in one place with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. But Luke, let me remind you that it may have happened suddenly, but they were waiting there 10 days. You know what they were waiting? God was waiting for them to get into unity. God was waiting for them to come together. And when they got in unity in one place in accord, the Bible says that the Lord, the Spirit of God came and entered that house, and there was unity. God's just waiting for the church to get in one accord. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, God's waiting for us to get in one accord. Amen. What would you think of this worship team? I know what I would think. But if Dwayne started off in the key of G, and Roy started off in the key of A, and Dylan started off in the key of B flat, and Dustin started off, you know, in the key of C, and Gabe started. No matter what gear you in is, you can start in any gear, can't you? But if Gabe was in a different key, how many knows there that would be far from unity, far from unity. How many knows it'd be a horrible, horrible sound? But it has happened. I wasn't going to say that. But what happens is when they're all in the same chord, they're all in the same key, and there's unity there, it produces a beautiful sound to the ear. And we just need to get in agreement. Our praise team, that when they start worshiping God, they're in one accord. And chord. They're in one chord and a chord. Amen. Now, let me just give you a little music theory lesson here. Dylan, are you listening? Music theory. Not only are there 12 major chords, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, no, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Somebody asked Red Skelton, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. I've been here 49 years. I can probably say whatever I want by now. But somebody asked Red Skelton one time, and somebody was playing the fiddle, and they said, that sounds like the key of G to me. And Red Skelton said, no, it sounds like L to me. Okay. Mark, you'll get it. I'll tell you at lunchtime. There's 9 common chord qualities that maybe you've never heard of. Major chords, minor chords, diminished chords, major seventh chords, minor chords, minor seventh chords, dominant seventh chords, suspended chords, suspended second, suspended fourth, augmented chords, extended chords. There's ninths and there's elevenths. There's all kinds of things. But if we can get in agreement and get in one accord, we can make a powerful sound that'll cause heaven to rejoice when we praise God. It's all about being in unity and being together and being in one accord. Amen. Amen. Where was I at? I'm on page 5 of 11. You going to stay with me for 11 more minutes?
Yep.
Good. It doesn't matter how good the singing is at church. It doesn't matter how good the preaching is. It doesn't matter how good the music is. If there's no agreement, the power of God will never show up. You can have the best music in the world and the best preacher in the world, but if there's division here and strife here and wars going on between the members, we'll never have the presence of God. Amen. It's important that we stay in agreement or connected. Let's stay connected. Now, just because we are connected doesn't mean we all have the same opinion about everything. Huh? We have various, we're individuals, so we all have various types of opinions, but we're in agreement enough to walk together side by side. Amen? I didn't get up this morning, take a shower, put on fresh clothes, cologne and deodorant, and comb my hair just to come to church, just to praise the Lord. I didn't come just, I can praise the Lord at home in my PJs. I can praise God at home, but I come to church to hear the Word of God, because it's the Word of God, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the Word of God that my soul needs to be fed so that I can be strong and stand the trials of life, so I can get the direction that I need for the week. You know why we had mid-service week? It's a fill-up week. It's a fill-up time. We come in on midweek to fill up so we can get on through the rest of the week. That's what we need the Word of the Lord. And we just need to be in that environment with other believers that will be our backup. They'll be there to help us rebuke the enemy and to plead the blood of Jesus. I know I can rebuke the devil myself. I can rebuke him myself. But how many knows if one puts 1,000 to flight, two can put what? 10,000 to flight. I can be bad by myself, but I can be badder if you're with me, okay? So need to call for backup. Need to call for backup. Hell fighting your finances, hell fighting your family, hell fighting your children, hell fighting your mental state. Call for backup. It's not an admission of weakness when you call for backup. Amen? Just be willing to. I need prayer. Will you agree with me? Will you agree with me about this? My kids are strung out on drugs. I just need somebody to stand with me to agree with me that they're going to come back to the Lord. Amen? The world understands this unity thing. They call it networking, right? It's a word that's just taken over. You know, it's called networking. And sometimes we just feel like if I tell somebody, they're going to go blab it to the whole church, and then I'm going to be uncovered and look horrible. And this is where the teaching comes in, that when you confide in somebody, we have a counselor here in this church, and when somebody confides in them and tells them things, they won't tell me, they won't tell Darlene, they won't tell anybody because they are not in the business of sharing your garbage. Amen? They won't share your hurts. They won't share what you talk to them about. There's that confidentiality, and I thank God for that. But sometimes church members have a tendency. If I come to you and say, "Man, I really got a problem with drinking. I get drunk and pass out every three times a week." I mean, there'll be people that can't wait to get on Facebook and tell everybody. Uncover us. How many knows we're supposed to cover one another? Amen. Look at somebody. Say, "I got your back." Come on, turn to somebody, "I got your back." So, Chris, sometimes we're afraid to pull our mask off because what will somebody think? Or who are they going to tell? How far is social media going to take this thing? I heard about these three pastors that were on a fishing trip together. And they said, "You know what, we're in ministry. We never get to talk about our weaknesses. We have to be strong all the time. Why don't we just talk a little bit about our weaknesses and share with one another and get it out in the open so we can get healed?" And so the first man says, "Well, you know," first preacher said, "Well, I'm a gambler." He said, I've gambled so much, my credit cards are maxed out, and nobody knows about it, and I'm about to lose everything." The second preacher said, "Well, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I pass out two or three times a week drinking so much alcohol." And the third preacher started laughing. He just laughed and laughed and laughed, and they said, "What are you laughing about?" He said, "Well, my weakness is gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat." Sometimes we just need to cry out for an Ezekiel to help us speak over these dry bones. Amen. Amen. These bones were bleached, they were brittle, they were white, they represented a life that is without God, a life that is wasted, a life that has no hope. They're desolate. Drugs have destroyed it. Alcohol has destroyed it. Improper relationships have caused it to be without joy. Sin has destroyed it. Hopelessness is all around it. Despair surrounds it. And unhappiness overwhelms it. Life is depressed because of its current conditions, discouraged by the failures, disheartened, disappointed, and destitute. But the only thing that can help you is you crying out to God and getting somebody to agree with you, "We're going to make it through this thing. All I need is somebody to come alongside me and help me." Amen? Now, when you start talking about bones, some of you here are going to understand this from a physical standpoint. Bones are the structure of the body. The bones is what holds you up. Amen? The bones is the structure of the body. Your structure is controlled by the bones, and it causes you to stand up erect. And have you noticed people that and I'm not talking about anybody here, but have you noticed when people get older and older and older, they begin to hump, like, get, you know, start walking like this more and more? And I tell my wife, don't you ever let me walk like that. You straighten me up every time. But people sometimes, it's the bones that holds you up erect, and that's what we're talking about this morning. These bones, muscle without bones will collapse to the floor. I don't care how much muscle you have. I want to know, have you got bones? You got standing power. Do you have staying power? You know what keeps a pastor at a church 49 years? Bones. You can't be weak-kneed and a pushover if you're trying to accomplish pastoring a church for any length of time. So if you don't have structure, you're going to fall at the first sign of trouble. If the Word of God is not your foundation, if you build your house upon sand, the first storm that comes along is going to destroy the house, the foundation, and everything. Amen? Amen. So, I got a couple more points I want to make here. Ezekiel said, God told Ezekiel, I want you to go down to the valley. I want you to look and tell me what you see. Now, here's what, I love this part here. Ezekiel saw dry bones. That's all he saw was, I see a valley full of dry bones. Are you still with me this morning? Yes. God sees an army. God sees an army. So many people see us where we are today, but God sees us where we ought to be. You might see where I am right now, but God sees me where I ought to be. And when God looks at you, he sees what you're going to be. God looks what's on the inside. Amen. Amen. We got to stop looking at everybody's outside. Amen. So God says, Can these bones live again? Will these bones? And of course, Ezekiel says, "Lord, I don't know. Only you know. I don't know." And some of us have said the same thing. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get over this or not. I don't know if I'll ever get past the shame of this. I don't know if I'll ever get past the gossip that's been going on about us. I don't know if I can ever let go of what Facebook says. I don't know if I can ever get over this sickness. I don't know if I can ever get over this mental anguish that I'm going through. I don't know if I'll ever get over it. And that's exactly what Ezekiel said. But listen, God said, speak to it. Amen. Hear me? God said what? Speak to it. Speak to dead, dry bones is probably one of the craziest things you've ever heard God say. Speak to those dead, dry bones. And I get out of that this morning, brother Don's husband. I get this. John, I get this. God is telling us to speak to those things in our life that aren't being fruitful, that aren't producing, that seem to be weighing us down, pulling us back, dragging us down. God says, speak to those things. Well, you don't just speak anything, you speak the Word of God. Ezekiel spoke what God said. God said, tell these bones to live again. Ezekiel said, bones, live again. He didn't go off on some rampant and just say a bunch of corny stuff. He said what God said. If you don't speak to it, honey, it'll never change. Okay, five more minutes. Stay with me, five more minutes. If you don't speak to it, it'll never change. Turn to somebody and say, if you don't speak to it, it will never change. You need to speak to those things. I command you to hear the word of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to skip this. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to skip this. Oh, that's good stuff. Maybe I should go back. Ezekiel did just exactly what God told him to do. He took his big old King James Bible out to that valley of dry bones, and he began to speak the word of God over those bones, and there was a rattling, there was a noise, there was a coming together, but it wasn't over. A little bit later, God says, I think we need to speak some breath into them. We need to call the breath into them. And so, according to the word of the Lord, you dead bones, you're going to rise again. You're going to live again. You're going to be joined together, back together with each other. Your cartilage is going to be put back on you. Your skin is going to cover you. And you are going to begin to breathe again. And according to the word of the Lord, bones live again. So all I want to say to you this morning is, sometimes just get out your checkbook and say, finances, live again. Get out your credit card and say, credit card, you're going to be paid off in 12 months. Are you hearing me? You need to speak to it. Take that son or that daughter that's giving you a whole bunch of problems. You say, son, daughter, you might be having a wild time now, but I declare the word of God over you that you're going to live and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Speak to it. Speak to those things. Somebody said, well, you don't have that kind of authority. The Bible says I can speak the word of God. I can speak the word of God over any situation in my life. Amen. And so I just want to tell Solid Rock Family Church, tell our visitors and everybody that's here this morning, you don't have to worry about God holding up his end of the bargain. Amen. He said the bones are going to come together. It was 2,500 years later, Dwayne, before the prophecy was fulfilled. That blows my mind. And some of us can't wait 1 week for a prophecy to be fulfilled. Huh? Amen. Amen. God never leaves anybody hanging. God never runs off and forsakes us. Amen. I want the worship team to come back up here. And we're going to get ready to do this Dry Bones Live Again song. I asked him to do that because I knew what I was speaking on. And I asked Dwayne yesterday, can you close us out on this Dry Bones Live Again? God will never ask you to do something and then turn around and walk off and leave you alone. When God asks you or calls you to do something, he will always equip you for what he's called you to do. Amen. I didn't want to be a pastor. My dad said, son, if you'll go to college, my GI Bill or my, he was 100% disabled, so I got, my tuition was paid for through the government. And he said, would you consider going to college? I said, sure, I'll go to Bible college, but I'm not going to be a preacher. And Dad said, that's all right. Just go to school and do the best you can. And I came back from college, and I still didn't want to be a preacher. When I left to go to college, I was working at Bell Telephone up at 4240 Duncan Road in St. Louis. When I came back from college, I went right back to 4240 Duncan Road, picked up. My seniority went on, picked it up, and continued working at Bell Telephone. But you know, there came a day that God came knocking on my heart's door and said, you know what? You're made for more than working at a telephone company. You're made for more than this. And I argued, Carol. I argued with God. I didn't want to preach. You know why? I saw how people treated my dad. I didn't want a pastor. I saw how church members can be very cruel and very mean. And Gary, you and Connie both know some of the things that my dad went through as a pastor in Festus. And I lived with that. I've heard the phone calls. I heard his end of the conversation when people would call him or people would stop him. And my dad was a good man. He was a good man. He was a good preacher, great pastor. And I said, I'll never pastor because of the way they treated him. But you know what? When God calls you to do something, you just can't get away from it, can you? When he puts that burning desire, now I can't wait for Sunday mornings. I can't wait for Wednesdays. I can't wait for a chance to preach the word and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God will never call you to do something and leave you alone. Amen. When God spoke to us to go to Africa in 1989, we'd never been out of the country any more than Mexico. And when we went to Africa the first time, Darlene and I were as green as world travelers could be. And we learned a lot. And there was times we said, God, where are you? But we survived and we made it. And we've been going ever since. Ever since. God's opened doors. But you see what? God will never call you to Africa if you're not willing to go. I want to say it again. If God calls you to Africa, he'll put the want to on the inside of you. He'll put the desire on the inside of you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And so I just want to share some things with you today that he'll never leave you hanging. He'll never run off and leave you. Amen. And we're going to arise and be that exceeding great army. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. And I want you to realize today how good God has been to us. How good God has been to us. We're to be an exceeding great and mighty army. The Church of Solid Rock is to be an exceeding great and mighty army. We're not to be wishy-washy. We're not supposed to not have a spiritual backbone. And sometimes because of the way we stand for things, we're misunderstood or people get offended. But I tell you what, I'm tired of normal church. I'm tired of normal church. And I see the pendulum swinging. I see God swinging this pendulum in a brand new direction. And I believe God's calling us to be that exceeding great army in this lead belt, or not lead belt now, it's Parkland, isn't it? In the Parkland area. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know what that's all about? God brought me from the dead, dry, discombobulated life to a life that is fulfilling, a life that is enjoying the life that God sent us to give. Okay. Did God ever pick up the broken pieces of your life? Did God ever put your bones back together? Your family back together? I think of Rhonda Turnbow, how she prayed for years. I don't know, is she here this morning? She prayed. How many years did you pray for your husband to come? 27 years she came to church by herself. Set by herself in this church, in that church up there. She sat by herself. And her confession and her believing was, God's going to save my husband and he's going to be in church sitting with me. 27 years later, Rhonda doesn't miss a Sunday morning. Unless when he's down in Florida helping clean up the hurricane. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to ask you if you would just come to the front. Would you mind just gathering around? I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to scare you. I'm not going to speak in tongues over you. I'm not going to push you over. I just want you to just come to the front, and I want us to come together as an army, as a family, community, unity. Whether you belong to this church or not, we want you to come forward. Just come forward and join us and get as close as you can. I promise not to bite you. I promise not to spit on you. Just get as close as you can. I just want us to come together as a family. Come together as a family. Before you were ever born, God had a plan to redeem you. In fact, God had a plan of redemption immediately after Adam and Eve sinned. He immediately instituted a plan to redeem his man. And some of you can probably look back over your life and you can say, I can remember. I can remember when I was lost. I was a sinner out serving Satan. I wasn't living for God. You can remember how hopeless life was. But then Jesus came in. How many remembers that day Jesus came in? You remember that? Some of you can remember the exact day and time when Jesus came in. Now, I was raised in church. Gary, we were raised in church. I can't tell you the exact day I was born again. Probably my first day I was alive when I went to church, probably the first day, you know. But thank God he's restored. He's restoring. He's rebuilding our lives. He wants to do more than you even think is possible for him to do. Remember when you were weak and you couldn't say no, but God came in and he helped you to say no to those things. No, I don't have to have that. No, I don't have to give in to that temptation. No, I don't have to look at that. No, I don't have to partake of that. No, God's helping me to be strong on the inside so that I can say no. Remember when you were weak? Remember when you were lost? Remember when you were out there wandering around in sin? But Jesus. Everybody say, but Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Chris Norman, Jesus came into this earth, came into this world. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He hung on a tree so that we could have life more abundantly, like Lou talked about this morning. He's made it possible. So I want to pray with all of you right now. I want you to bow your head. If you're bound, you're about to be set free. If you feel trapped, you're about to be set free. And I'll go one step further. If you're lost, you're about to be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man and woman and child that is up here this morning around the front of this church. And I pray for those on this platform. God, we've made a mess out of our lives. We made horrible decisions. Some of us have made bad choices in life, and now we're living with the consequences of it. But God, I know that you are the restorer, the rebuilder. You're the one that come to put us all back together, just like those bones in Ezekiel's boneyard. I pray for fragmented marriages today, Lord. God, just do, I'm asking you, do whatever you have to do, Lord, to cause these marriages to be restored and to be healthy again. God, I pray for every son and daughter that is out away from God today, doing their own thing, showing no interest in the things of God. Lord, would you just tug them by your Spirit? And God, we've always prayed, whatever it takes, and we know that's a hard one to say, but whatever it takes to bring our children back into the household of faith, may the prodigal sons and daughters return home. We pray in Jesus' name. Father, for every person here today that's struggling in the emotional realm, I pray, God, for healing of the emotions. God, we all, from time to time, struggle with our emotions, and maybe sometimes our emotions are not healthy. But today, God, I pray for healing of the emotions. Healing of our emotions, Lord. Healing of our bodies. We thought we'd have to live with this for the rest of our lives, but we're asking you for healing today. We're asking you for healing today, Lord. God, there's some that go to the doctors and hospitals, and God, they do the best they can to help fix that person. God, they're in the business of restoring lives just as we are. And Father, I thank you that whether it comes through hospitals, doctors, and nurses, or whether it comes through medication, or whether it just comes from the hand of God, we thank you for healing today. Healing our bodies, Lord. Heal our bodies, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for newness of life. I pray to God, when we walk out of here today, Lord, that our attitudes, God, our attitudes towards one another is going to be right. Help us to love one another as you love the church. Unify us, as you said in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Unify us, Lord. Bring us together closer than we've ever been before, Lord. And I thank you for this wonderful group of people today. God, if there's anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray right now that they'll pray this prayer with us. They'll open their heart and their life. They will come to Jesus Christ today. They will walk out of this house today a brand new creation. Everybody say this with me. Dear God in heaven, I need a Savior. And Jesus came to give me life. So I receive you this morning, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and living in my life. Help me to do your will, O God. I submit to your will, Lord. I declare Jesus is Lord. I declare that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for raising us up, raising up these dry bones. God, raising up healthy bones and healthy people in Jesus' name. I say dry bones. Come on, dry bones. Rise again. Raise up, rise up, rise up. Call out to try.